a wild man.
I want you to struggle, and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
Disclaimer. Hey, we're talking about basketball, and my computer crapped out because I bought it when Nick Marshall was the quarterback for the Auburn Tigers football team.
We're down.
So let's put it that way. And it is so full of garbage, most of it this podcast, or we've got Jared adjacent, that it was likely to happen any moment. But we were on the subject of one Sharif Omar Cooper, who is a basketball genius, and we were talking about his alley-oop to, I believe it was J.T. Thor, that Chief was speaking about when my computer crapped out was the last thing
was
that
it,
I heard.
Was it that one? I couldn't remember.
I believe that's the one it was. That's the one where he threw two to Thor and one.
His hand was around the defender's back. Could not have possibly seen through it and still threw a perfect oop to him.
What Auburn fans saw the other night against Alabama was all of the sudden a modern NBA point guard got loose on the court.
Yeah.
And it's bizarre. It really is. There's nothing like that when there's a player who is obviously doesn't belong at this level in some ways. And in some ways it's like, oh, this is everything that this position is supposed to be in 2021. Like, this is what this position is made to do in the modern game. And he's doing it all at once. And it's like it just, the first couple of minutes of the game, it seemed as if he didn't have his sea legs. And then all of a sudden a light came on and he was like, oh yeah, this is easy. This is just as easy as high school. I can just keep doing this.
Yeah. There was a stretch in this game where Alabama could literally do not a damn thing to stop Sharif.
They threw three different defenders at him. There was a stretch in the second half where three different defenders checked him at the 3-point line and he took every single one of them to the rim. And it finally got to the point where they were kind of getting mad. If you notice, Alabama defenders were kind of starting to like be a little bit chippy with Sharif and checking him a little hard. And that's just because they were all getting embarrassed on television.
Yeah, yes, by this 19-year-old kid.
Yeah. One by one by a kid who didn't. The one thing about Sharif that's interesting is he's babyface and he doesn't say a word. Like, he's not talking trash to these guys. He's not.
Are you sure?
Couldn't tell. Like, by no, he wasn't like Auburn has had players in the past, like Samir, that you can tell is just talking noise the entire game,
nonstop.
And you've got guys like Jared who don't say anything.
And I think Samir's a little bit more of a Jared. I couldn't tell if he was saying a word the entire game.
Yeah,
I know Stretch was. Stretch probably doing enough talking for both of them.
Him and Flan.
Yeah, Flan's not afraid to get into it.
I think Stretch probably talks happy trash, though. He's not Kevin Garnett.
He's hyping his boys up.
Yeah. I think an interesting thing about this is you've got a player who is almost too good. We talked a little bit about this on the pod that was recorded, hopefully is safe and sound and can be listened to. If not, we're doing a whole all Sharif Cooper show tonight. Maybe there's not a lack of depth on this roster is because Bruce Pearl keeps recruiting NBA players.
Yeah.
And that's good and bad. Like Kentucky's finding that out as well, where like, if you just keep signing NBA guys, eventually you're going to sign the wrong ones, or you're going to go, oh gosh, I didn't expect those three guys to go pro and I didn't have three guys to replace them.
We have a different problem than Kentucky has. Kentucky signs those guys expecting them to leave immediately. And I think we sign guys that we're hoping are going to stick around for 2 or 3 years. And it turns out that Bruce is too good of a coach and has turned these dudes that, not Sharif. Sharif was pretty hyped. His only deal was his size. But a guy like Okoro and Chuma Okeke, who were not dudes expected to jump to the NBA quickly, and they did.
If Bruce, again, has a knock in game, is that sometimes his teams take a little bit of heat check shots that you kind of wish they didn't, and that kind of bit Sharif in the butt there at the end, and Auburn as well. But like, there were a couple.
You don't want to coach him to be hesitant in that situation.
Shooter's got to shoot. And
it took Jared a while to get those end of game.
And Sharif was hotter than fish grease, so why not?
Well, the thing is, I listen to the Auburn Observer podcast. We've already name checked them once tonight, or I have. And the thing that Ferg pointed out was Auburn has been lacking a guy that will take that shot, willing to do that at that moment in the game. So you kind of just have to be like, well, now we got the guy. He missed it this time. Maybe he'll make it the next time.
Well, and he is an absolute hero if he hits that shot too, right?
But it was not anywhere near the basket.
It was not. But look, I mean, a guy in his first
game. All-time worst shots I've seen in the arena. But hey.
It was a little horse-esque. But.
A horse would hit the rim, man. But hey, I think he's better off if he drives.
We just needed a two. We didn't even need a three at that point.
And the dude, like, he's a freshman. It's his first freaking college game. Like, I'll cut him some slack on kind of panicking at the end because we dribbled way too much on our last possession and then took the bad shot. But it's, as Ferg pointed out in his own pod, Auburn, especially in like the UCF game, you just had guys like standing around like nobody wants to be the guy to take that shot. And now we have a guy that definitely wants to be the guy. And I think Flan would be the guy now as well. I don't think he had quite figured it out.
Cooper is going to be doing for Flan is allowing us to get the short, quick bursts of brilliance from Alan Flanagan.
Instead of
this Alan Flanagan, you've got to do everything. And that's not good for many, most players. Like, even Sharif is going to be a better player because Flanagan and Thor are going to be on the court. And those players are going to be worlds better because Sharif's on the court. One guy having to do the whole thing, I don't know what Flanagan's usage rate was against Ole Miss, but it was probably 40 or something, nonsense like that. Yeah. You've got a guy who
23%, because I remember Jalen was on fire in that game.
Yeah, that's right. That's Jalen's best game of the
year. But 23 is probably, I think, still too high for Flanagan.
21% in the Alabama game.
I would like him to be in the 18s, and I think he will be when Powell comes back, because a solid 18 from Flanagan is going to be what the doctor ordered. Like, give me short bursts of brilliance and not him feeling like he's rolling a ball up a hill over and over and over again.
Flanagan. I think Alan Flanagan right now is looking like the player we wanted Mustafa Heron to be for a full game.
100%. That's a great point.
Yeah. Chief, I think you said that earlier this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is the guy that everyone that loves Mustafa Heron sort of remembers Mustafa Heron as, I think, in some ways. Flanagan never goes quiet. You always know he's there when he's on the floor, and that's what you wanted from Mustafa. And I think it makes him a better player. And I did not see this in Alan Flanagan last year. I saw Alan as a role player, good defender, maybe 8 points a game guy. And I think we've got ourselves a 15 and,
he's 15 and 8.
4 assists, 6 rebounds, something like that guy. He's going to have an effect on the game.
He's 14 and 5 with 3 assists right now.
Yeah. So he's going to, and it's not just the points. He's not going to get his 15 and go quiet on you. He's going to be out there defending, out there playing his butt off the entire time. And I don't know. I almost think he's, at least at this level, looking like maybe a better Okoro.
His defense isn't there.
Nobody's
there. I think that's there, but I think his points are going to be a little more reliable.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a more polished offensive player than Isaac was at this point.
I think he's a more balanced player than we had in Isaac. I we never questioned Isaac's. Our defense fell to pieces when Isaac wasn't part of it last year.
Our defense has kind of fallen to pieces
anyway this year. Yeah.
I think another thing I wanted to say about Sharif is a healthy Sharif Cooper carrying the ball across half court, being there, being that constant presence, pounding the rock,
yeah. Oh,
also unlocked a fully operational Death Star of JT Thor. Because I've been on this podcast for weeks talking about how JT Thor's our best player, talent-wise. But he's just having to do weird things that he's not supposed to do. And so the advanced stats have been saying he's not that great. Well, go look at the advanced stats after that game. He was the best player on the court.
Well, I think if you had eyeballs, you could tell that as well. Like, you don't have to look at the advanced stats.
Oh, you mean you have a guy who can drive and dish to a person that you cannot throw it too high.
Yeah.
Like there is not a space. His catch radius is infinite. It is the moon. It's his catch radius.
And the solace I'm taking right now is I don't think he's that great of a three-point shooter, and so that keeps him around for another year.
Right.
Maybe. Yeah, see, for the year, Thor's shooting 25% from three. So
right.
That's not going to get him to the league just yet.
They could absolutely take a guy like him and say, well, we'll teach him how to shoot threes. He'll be fine. But
especially because he's so young. The NBA would go, yeah. Oh, he's only 18?
He could be 18.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to have to learn to shoot him from further away anyway. Why not take him now? But
gosh,
don't listen to me, NBA scouts. He's terrible at three-point shooting. Don't take him.
I'll tell you right now, if he connects on that dunk in the second half,
my God,
I think that you guys would have heard me yell from Texas. Because I think if he connects that dunk in the second half, it's the best dunk in the history of that arena.
I make very strange noises when I watch sports, and it's been a while since my wife has been home. And seen one of me or been around when I'm watching one of my teams perform pretty well. And so I was making some really weird noises watching this game. Exclamations of joy.
We need her to record
and
some of those.
But JT Thor, I mean, Sharif Cooper unlocked a different dimension of his game. And it was amazing to watch. And it made me very excited.
He's a giant scarecrow. What
was impressive was that
it
wasn't just the scoring.
No, it wasn't just the scoring. He was playing excellent defense.
Yeah, I mean, he had 9 rebounds and then the 4 steals. I mean, that's
incredible.
Huge. 4 steals and 3 blocks from anybody is amazing.
Big man.
4 steals from a guy who is 6'10".
Yeah.
Is bizarre. That's not a normal stat.
That's amazing.
4 steals, 3 blocks is something that you might see out of a scrappy guard.
Yeah.
Like a Dwayne Wade type could do the blocks and the steals thing. You don't really see it a lot from gigantic people with pterodactyl arms. That's not a normal, like the dude is so long and so stretchy, yet fast enough and graceful enough to get up down the court that he just, and with a point guard like Sharif makes the court small.
Yeah.
Which is like on the court that he can't reach you with the ball. And if you're JT Thor, that means, oh, great, I'm open whenever because I'm taller than everybody else.
My father instilled a love for passing in me at a young age. He wanted me to be a good passer. I'm a pretty good passer if I can do anything. I was never the greatest basketball player, always a pretty good passer. And the passes that Sharif Cooper was spreading across the cross court bounce passes that were pin perfect were the most beautiful things I've ever seen anyone in Auburn basketball uniform do. And it was passing nirvana.
Yeah.
And this was his first game.
Yeah. He had 9 assists, but he could have easily had 14, 15 because we didn't shoot the ball that well.
People made their threes early, he's sitting with 14, 15 assists.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the record is 16, by the way. The Auburn record is 16 assists in a game set by Javon McCormick last year.
And he did
it against us?
And that was against Cal State Northridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the records so Sharif got really close to a record that was set by a guy against Cal State Fullerton or whatever. Thor got the last guy to have 4 rebounds and or 4 steals and 3 blocks in a game was Kenny Gabriel when he had the triple-double against Bethune-Cookman with 10 blocks. Those are two terrible basketball teams. Those were two scrubs. These two guys are doing this against
first place team in the SEC.
These two guys are doing against the best team in the SEC.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not going to call them best. I'll say first place.
You're only not calling them best because that's Alabama, but they're the best team in the conference right now.
I would like to point out, as a team, we did score more points than pretty much anybody else. More points in the conference than anybody else, certainly on them. I think we frustrated them more than anyone else in the conference.
Oh, for sure. And they,
I mean, this game was a coin flip. It literally came down to a possession at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And they were without their best point guard.
Yeah, I mean, we outshot them. Effective field goal percentage in this game, Auburn was 53%. Alabama was 48%. We had 1.45 points per shot. They had 1.29.
If I had to guess, we
were better on a per shot basis.
We just didn't
take as many shots.
We lost on the defensive boards for ourselves. Like they got gazillion offensive rebounds.
Well, and really, I mean, they only got 30% on the offensive rebounds, which is about their season average.
Mm.
But we only got 6 offensive rebounds in the whole game. 18%.
It's real bad.
Our
offensive boards were non-existent.
Sharif had 3 or 4 turnovers off the top of my head.
Yeah.
And
at the end of the game.
Five turnovers. And I want to say at least
3 of them were in quick succession.
At least 2 of them were a guy wasn't ready for the ball.
Yep.
Ball hit him in the hands or face, and he wasn't ready for the ball. Those turnovers were going to go away the more these guys played. Like, these guys just hadn't played in games with Sharif.
Yeah, they're not expecting it, right?
They're going to be realizing that they're open. Like
he and Dylan Cardwell are probably not playing on the same team in practice a lot.
No.
If he's been practicing the ones. So that can account for that.
They have been practicing together for an extra year, though.
Same high school.
They were at McEachern together.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then he should have known better.
But still,
didn't play because Cardwell was transferred.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. So practice, but not game time.
So this was I think you had a couple of guys who need to get used to playing with Sharif. Are we going to run out I meant to ask this on the pod, so I'm glad I'm doing that. Are we going to roll out an all McEachern lineup at some point? Like,
I mean, we could.
Or an all AOT. We could maybe roll out an all AOT lineup too.
Oh, you definitely could do that, right? Because there's Cooper there.
Cambridge.
Yep. Was Stretch on AOT?
Yeah.
Stretch. And then, you needed a Coro back to do that.
I wonder if Cardwell was on AOT at some point.
Yeah, was Cardwell not on AOT?
I don't believe so.
You can only have a certain amount
of
high school teammates on the same team.
What's funny is, though, you could roll out a team of 5 guys, probably, who each have played with Sharif Cooper
last
year.
Else on the team.
Which is kind of an interesting and unique thing that Auburn can do, which is better because Sharif hadn't played.
The number one thing from Saturday that I was most excited to see was that Alabama, we're done with this. Okay, every team's going to try to trap us in the full court defense. We're done with it. It's over. Never going to happen again. Because Sharif just won't allow it to happen. If 2 guys are running at him, he's going to throw a pass around them, bounce pass, pin perfect to somebody else on the other end of the court who's probably going to score.
That's a great point. I think what we are going to see, however, is – and I can't believe Alabama didn't do it – is I think teams are going to zone us again.
Yeah, oh, yeah. They're going to zone us to death.
Because
– if we can't shoot the 3, then we're screwed.
And we can't score inside.
Right. And if you zone us, it's going to take away Sharif's
not one guy on the roster who yesterday, besides Sharif, was really attacking the rim on a consistent basis. And this team has inside scoring on offense and on defense, to take it back to Ryan's show notes, has been a bit of a problem. Like,
I do want to combat you on the inside scoring on offense. We're 2nd in the conference in 2-point percentage. We're not taking many shots.
In 2-point percentage, though, Ryan. Not total points.
Because we're dunking the ball.
We're 13th in the conference in amount of points, or I guess ratio of points that are 2s.
What did you say? We're 14th?
We are 13th in Okay, so KenPom has a point distribution where it's how what percentage of your points come from threes, twos, and free throws. Auburn is first in 3-point, which 43% of their points come from threes, 39% from two, which is 13th in the conference, and 17% from free throws, which is 11th in the conference.
There's your problem. It's not that we're not shooting.
Auburn is first in the conference in conference games in effective field goal percentage.
But the issue is we aren't getting to the line a ton. I bet we're not that high in the conference.
We are 10th in the SEC and getting to the line.
Which means we are not taking the ball to the basket. You don't get fouled at half court, and you don't get fouled in the corner three. You get fouled on the block, and Auburn's not getting down there. It just isn't. Our twos are alley-oops and layups from fast breaks. We are not in half-court sets.
The only one getting
to
the basket right now is Dylan Cardwell.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think that Sharif Cardwell combination is going to have to be a feature.
I'm not going to tell Bruce how to do his job. But
he'll figure it out.
I don't understand why every game does not just a healthy dose of Thor setting a pick for Sharif.
Yeah.
And now we run a pick and roll with a 6'10" guy who can shoot threes and a hyper athlete who is a pinpoint passer. What are you going to do to that? Because Sharif can get to the basket and finish, and Thor can shoot from outside and inside, and he can just throw it over your head and Thor will dunk it.
Yeah, if guys end up in a zone on us, we may see a lot more oops.
Because the zone right now, the teams that have zoned us, Gonzaga zoned us a little bit.
Yeah.
Who is it? USF? No, UCF.
UCF.
Zoned the absolute stink out of Auburn, and that was a disaster of a game.
Man.
Because Auburn couldn't shoot threes, and I think I'm worried that teams that have no business beating a team as talented as Auburn will beat them if Auburn can't figure out how to get the ball to the high post.
Yeah.
But okay, having said that, the exciting thing about Sharif Cooper is now everybody gets to play his position.
Yep.
So your high post player is not Devin Cambridge. It is Alan Flanagan, who is a three. So yeah, Alan Flanagan is going to go set up at the free throw line and catch the high post entry pass from Sharif Cooper. That changes everything because now he catches that defense collapse. He kicks it out to Justin Powell, 3 points.
Yep.
Where it was in the past was whoever's in there is catching the ball and there's not a shooter ready to catch and shoot on the outside, or Justin Powell can't get the ball to him because that's not his game.
Yeah.
So it's getting everybody to play their proper position is going to be hopefully key.
So let me ask the question then, assuming a healthy Justin Powell, which we don't know yet, what is your starting lineup?
Sharif at the one, Justin Powell at the two, Flanagan at the three.
Thor at the four. And then Jalen at the five.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
So that lets you bring in Jamal Johnson and Devin Cambridge off the bench.
Yeah, I love it.
Which is great. I mean,
I did love that we did not see a ton of Jalen Williams posting up in this game. Because I don't love his post up game. So
Jalen has a strangely good jump shot, not always from the three.
Right.
But that doesn't always exist in this game anymore.
Right.
So they got to figure out how to make that feature, I guess. I'm not really sure.
They're going to have to pick and roll. And if Sharif,
we got him in some mismatches the other day and just didn't get him the ball underneath.
And you'll also see if Sharif keeps crawling up draft lotteries, you might see Bruce start running more pick and roll just to help Sharif get his draft stock better, because the NBA only runs pick and roll. And so you might see him go, oh, okay, well, kind of like how you randomly will see coaches do things in football to try to get their guys to look more like an NFL quarterback or whatever.
Like turning Nick Marshall into a pocket passer?
Sure.
Mm. Yeah, let's hope it goes better than that. Or not better this year, but better next year.
So I think we might see that. I hope so, because Jalen is also a good pick and roll partner for Sharif.
Oh, I think that's maybe his game. If he's the five, I'd love to see pick and roll stuff with Jalen.
Because if they switch, now Sharif is being guarded by some big slow guy.
that he can go right around or just pass through his legs or around him or.
This is the never switch, by the way, kids, for listening to this. Just don't switch. Get better. Get better defense and fight through it. Don't switch.
Don't switch. Don't switch unless you're Isaac Okoro. Can switch all you want if you're Isaac Okoro.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about – we talked a little JT Thor, which I think we're only going to see – we've only scratched the surface of what JT Thor might become for Auburn, which is like terrifying.
As well – along with unlocking JT Thor, and I've pointed this out numerous times, where he unlocked Devin Cambridge, a different side of Devin's game. He's added in one game, he added more utility to Devin than we'd seen, and I'm excited about that. I think Devin's if Devin can embrace the six man role, he could be really good for us now. And that's without having to be hot from three. I think that was the problem that I had with him before, is he's only been hot from three three times now, and that was really his biggest utility. And now there's more to the game, to his game. We can do more with him. I'm excited about that, because he's another guy. He's not as tall as Thor, but it's kind of hard to throw it too high for Cambridge, as we saw at the end of the half. So that was quite the dunk.
Yeah. I think getting, again, taking a little bit more pressure off Cambridge too, is always good. This is a dude who plays fast and loose, and I like when he's able to do that. And if he might be a sixth man guy again, which would be awesome if he's willing to take that role on. He is a monster of a six man, because he is so athletic and can do so many things. And when he heats up, he'll hit eight threes in a game if he heats up enough. So I think Cambridge is a guy that Sharif could also. But I think the culture of Auburn, the fact that three starters came to Bruce and said they would take a spot on the bench so that Sharif could start. That's a huge deal. I mean, they didn't have to do that, but also they all knew, hey, this is the thing that's best for this team. It's our best player on the court.
Yeah. They knew that he's the best. I mean, I can't imagine playing with him every day and not thinking, wow, this dude, because he could probably take every single person on this team for one, but this dude is just next level better. Mm.
Was this kind of like Cam going through spring practice and like nobody wanted to say he was the best quarterback they've ever seen, but he was probably the best quarterback I've ever seen?
Yeah, sure.
It might be.
Except I think everybody on this team is more than willing to admit that this guy's the best point guard. He's the best point guard I've seen play at Auburn. And I'm a huge Doc Robinson is famously one of my favorite players. And Jared obviously was amazing.
Guy that he reminded me a little bit of, it was interesting, was that Ja Morant tweeted about him in the middle of the game.
Yeah.
I don't know if those two dudes are boys.
Yeah.
It wouldn't shock me if they scrimmage in Atlanta. But he's got a lot of Ja Morant in his game. And I saw Ja Morant play live at Auburn Arena, and that was Ja Morant was a obviously different level than anybody on Auburn's team at that point in the season.
Yeah.
And that team had Jared and Bryce and Juma. And it was very obvious who the best player on the court was, and it was not any of those dudes. And that's what Sharif is right now. It's like, all right, this team has some guys on it that are supposed to be really good and were 4 and 5-star recruits, but it was from the tip, the best player on that team and on that court was this short freshman with giant hair.
That's the only thing that keeps him coming into this year being, oh yeah, this guy's a one and done, like Ja was, is his size.
And he was the National Player of the Year.
Yeah. I mean, you can be that and not be an NBA guy though.
Right. That's true. But it is painfully obvious that he is good enough to probably leave at the end of the year.
It is patently ridiculous that this guy had to hold back his commitment from Auburn to make the McDonald's All-American team.
That's
this
true.
Guy, there's no point guard better than this guy in this freshman class. There can't be, because I would have heard about him by now.
Right.
So
I mean, Gonzaga's guy is pretty darn good. But
is he a freshman?
Yeah. I don't think he's as good as Reeve. Yeah, Suggs is a freshman, and he's taller. So he'll go to the NBA after this year. But I don't think he's as good as
Reeve. Well, taller means better, right?
Taller means the NBA knows what to do with you.
Yeah, they love their measurables in pro sports.
Well, I don't know if you've been
to an
NBA game. At least
height is a little bit more relevant than like finger length like they do at the NFL combine. Yeah.
The difference in the NBA is if you are not 6'4", there is a shelf life for how long you're playing in the league for the most part.
Well, and they just, like you said, they don't really know what to do with you. Because
you're going to get eaten alive on defense is the answer. Like, it isn't that they don't think you can score.
Yeah.
It's that they're going to have to hide
that you have to guard a 6'7".
Right. Well, it's that shooting guard. You also can't Sharif can't weigh at 6 foot whatever he is. He can't weigh 250 pounds.
Right.
So
it's also like how
beating.
For instance, Ryan, do you know that the player that most people comp Sharif to is Trae Young? Did you know that Trae Young is the worst defender in the NBA by statistics? Number he is dead last. And that's why. He's a great offensive player.
The guy that got cheated out of Rookie of the Year 2 years ago? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. It's obvious when you are 6'1" or 6'2", or whatever Trae Young is, that like you're not going to – John Morant's 6'6". You're just not going to guard him. Like he can shoot over you.
And that's the one knock on Sharif's game the other day. I really wish the announcers would have shut up about it. His defense was not great.
Right. Now – I mean, look, even Steph.
He's to get that hair a little bit taller so people can't see over him.
There you go.
Even Steph Curry's not a great defender. But the difference is he's the greatest shooter who's ever played the game. So he gets away with it.
Yeah, that's why I've been saying that if Sharif averages 30 points a game this year, then sure, he can go to the NBA. They won't care what size he is. But in which he's well on his way with starting out with 26 points. So,
yeah. All right.
I'm just really I really want to see every single dude back next year. And
Jabari Smith.
Yeah. So the thing with Sharif is he doesn't need the money. I mean, there's that. He's not a guy that, like, he's got to go get his money right now. And he may be a guy that, there may be some dudes that still have the goal of, hey, I want to play in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
So, I think he is a little older. I think he's 19 already. So he would be 20 in next year's NBA draft, almost 21. So he would be a little older at that point. So, that could be a factor. But I don't know. You never know. Some people just like to stick around. He may want to work on that defense some. NBA might want him to do that.
Yeah.
Again, if he averages 30 points a game, they won't care.
Right.
So,
hey, Ryan, can you preview Georgia for us real quick? Because Auburn got Georgia this week.
I do want to say one quick thing. Wanting to play in the NCAA tournament is probably a really good point because he kind of just watched his sister, I think, win a national title.
Oh,
she played at South Carolina for a little while. And didn't South Carolina win a women's championship recently?
A couple of years ago?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm not sure. I can't really check all the timelines right now. But
I should say a couple of
maybe there's something
tournaments
to be said to that of winning a tournament.
Sure.
Okay, so Georgia, we'll be playing them Wednesday. And, we've kind of had Georgia's number the last couple of years. Georgia got off to a hot start in non-con play, but that was because they did the Florida football strategy of not leaving the state.
Mm. Who did they play?
Let me pull them up real quick because it's real interesting. One second. Yeah, so they started 7-0 against Florida A&M, North Georgia, Jacksonville, Montana, Samford, Cincinnati, and Northeastern. They beat one team in the top KenPom 100. That was Cincinnati.
Oh.
Going into conference play, they lost to Mississippi State, LSU, and Arkansas. And the LSU game went overtime, but they lost to Arkansas by 30. So,
ooh, wow.
Yeah, that's pretty rough in conference game. They're ranked 87th in KenPom, Auburn's 80. So this is a toss up. They're not great on defense, number 13 defense in the SEC. And this, so I'm going to run through some numbers.
Okay.
This is just in conference play. So it's only three games, but still. So they're the 13th defense in SEC play. They're last in three-point percentage allowed, last in block percentage. And they're allowing 43% from three on defense.
All right. So
that's not the same curse as me saying their offense is bad at threes, right?
Oh, it could be.
We're not going to go 1 for 20 again from three.
So as long as we are not terrible shooting from three, we should win this game.
Right.
Which is a big as long as.
Right. If we shoot 44%, we're winning this game.
If we shoot 40%, I'll take it.
How are they against lightning quick guards?
Not totally sure, to be honest with you, but they're actually a smaller team.
Oh, good times.
Yeah, we've been playing the biggest teams, and they're this team is 279th in the country in average height. Wow. So
what you're telling me, they're going to be Devin Cambridge, JT Thor, maybe Jalen Williams will get in on the action. Dylan Cardwell, we're just going to be open the whole game.
So this team is, the defense is decent at causing turnovers. They're 45th in the country, and let's see.
I
say that they were 45th in the country, but they're 12th in SEC play and calling turnovers.
Wonderful. All right. So that's the stuff I like to hear, Ryan.
Yeah.
Because we are a turnover prone team.
Their defense has been rough the last three games. No other way around it. I don't really have anything to say that they're good at. I guess they're 8th in the SEC in 2-point percentage allowed. I don't know. Okay. Now, their offense is a little bit better. They're the number 11 offense in SEC play, but Auburn's got the number 11 defense. So,
yeah. Oh, so like you said, a toss-up.
Yeah, movable object versus resistible force.
But none of our stats. Yeah. Okay. I think
none of our stats
about,
include Sharif Cooper.
Right. None of our stats but one includes Sharif Cooper.
It's not
going to
defense better, though, is it?
It will, I think, because, again, people are going to be playing the regular position. And we're going to have maybe our five best players on the field, on the court the whole time. So I think.
And hopefully it cuts down on the offensive turnovers, which lead to easy baskets on the other end.
That's huge. That is huge.
Yeah, we could we can give up all the points we want on in the half court, as long as we don't give up a bunch of freaking points off turnovers. I mean, geez.
So this is another team that likes to play high tempo. So Alabama was first in the conference in tempo and Georgia's second, which is really weird because Georgia's 12th in the conference in turnovers.
Yeah. You might not want to play so fast. If you keep
I don't really know what that's about.
I'd like to say to Auburn sometime. Q&A, but. Where are we at in those two stats? That's what I want to know.
Our offense or our defense?
Offense. Where are we as far as tempo and
tempo? We are fourth in the SEC right now, mm-hmm. and again, this is just an SEC games, so only four games. We're fourth in tempo and 13th in turnovers.
Okay, so we're pretty much exactly the same.
Yeah,
but the caveat is, as Crow pointed out, those stats are without Sharif Cooper. And while we did turn the ball over a lot against Alabama, I think you're going to slowly see our turnovers start to come down.
And again, we're first in effective field goal percentage. That's huge.
Yeah, and guys are going to figure out that they don't have to press. We're not going to get trapped all the time like I was talking about. And that's just, I think our turnover numbers are going to maybe not automatically go down right now, but they're going to keep coming down as the year goes on.
So I think they do, because if you look at KenPom, they have a they break down turnovers between steals and non-steal turnovers.
Okay.
Auburn is 14th in steals and giving up steals, but only 6th in non-steal turnovers.
Okay.
So what that means is we've been seeing it's them in that half court and trying to throw us off a game with no point guard and actually causing steals. We're not making as many dumb mistakes. It's just we don't have a point guard.
Oh, well, I think I'd like to see how many shot clock violations we've had this year. It's more than
any it's gone up. I've ever seen. Definitely.
And I think that goes down now as well. Because once we got Sharif, like once Sharif figured it out in this game on Saturday, we didn't have any more of those. So,
I think we're gonna see a lot more of this. A lot more of our turnovers going down. I think that our defensive stats will go up. I think our efficiency, all of our efficiency stats will get better. I hope to see us win against Georgia because I think that's probably our best chance to get off the schneid. Right. I think between that game and the game against Kentucky on Saturday, the Georgia game's the one that's probably the easiest to win.
Of course.
Kentucky started out the year really quick because we've been going for 40 minutes on this second ghost pod. Kentucky started out the year really lousy, like really lousy.
Yeah.
But then is, kind of figured it out as they always do.
Typical Kentucky.
And they are the third best defense in efficient field goal percentage allowed in the conference. They are last, though, in defensive rebounding percentage, so that's good for Auburn. We can maybe get second champ points. But they are the best team in the league in two-point percentage allowed and block percentage because they are a long, athletic team.
Yeah.
Auburn is also long. Yeah, Auburn is also long, athletic, so this is going to be one of those few times that Auburn matches up with Kentucky well from a height and athleticism standpoint. But Kentucky's, they're really talented, as they always are. And they are really good, and they are figuring out how to play basketball together as a team again because they're five freshmen. Auburn's going to kind of be in the same boat. And with Bruce, we might be in this boat more often than not, guys, where it takes us about this long in the conference play to figure all of our guys out because we're going to have guys go pro every year. But I think – Auburn has a really good chance of splitting these two games. There is a chance that Auburn loses both of them, which I think would be kind of lousy. I think Auburn fans could start worrying if we're 0-6 in conference play. But and not really worrying that, not Bruce will be on the hot seat or anything ridiculous like that, but more like these guys still have really good attitudes and are playing really hard. But if you lose 6 straight, you're going to see a lot of – it's tough to play Division I basketball in a normal year. In a pandemic year, the extra work and extra stress is so high. It's going to wear on these dudes losing this many games. They need a win for team chemistry and morale. They need a win. Sharif coming back was a huge thing.
What's Bruce's buyout if they don't?
Sure. Bruce's buyout is Auburn Arena. Whatever Auburn Arena costs should be Bruce's buyout. Could you imagine the season ticket numbers if they got rid of Bruce? 10 people would buy. Like there wouldn't be anybody buying tickets.
I'd be able to get in on the list.
Yeah. No, it's
you've given me an idea for like a false flag operation where we put out that Bruce is getting fired. Then like that one year at the beginning of the NCAA stuff, everybody returned their season tickets.
Yes.
So I'm going to do that. I'm going to put that story out. I'm going to keep my tickets and try and get all the way down to courtside. And then, he's not getting fired, but I went up the list. Sorry, guys.
Dastardly. Just so good it might work. What you should do is do that for Alabama and then buy Alabama season tickets. And then sell them. Yeah. Then you're not hurting Auburn in any way, and you're still making
money. I'm giving money to Alabama.
But you're making that money back.
But Alabama's getting money.
Sure. They don't need Ryan, I hate to break it to you, whether you give them any money or not, they're going to be fine. All right, guys, I think we nailed it. I think there's nothing left to talk about with basketball. Hope everybody stays safe and have a War Eagle weekend.
War Eagle.
Real quick, Kentucky's the best team in the SEC in three-point percentage, so in theory, they should suck against us, right?